The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Fault lines that were starting to show between President Donald Trump and the GOP cracked a little more openly this week when Republican Senator Bill Cassidy and Trump got into a shouting match at a senatorial lunch in Washington, D.C. Reports reveal that the spat reached a point where another senator had to pull Cassidy back down into his seat as the two verbally sparred. Why did it happen? The war in Iran is at the center of it. Trump called Republicans losers for voting against his war and called Cassidy a lunatic. Here's what else is happening in the wake of this division from KCBS in the Bay Area.
President Trump has canceled the signing of a bipartisan housing bill that the House had passed this week. The Senate had passed it as well. Instead, the president is pushing Republicans toward the voter ID bill that he has long advocated for. California's senior U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, are you surprised that the president canceled this signing? I mean, there's not many times where Republicans and Democrats can agree on something, but here both chambers came together to pass his housing bill.
Exactly. Look, very little of what Donald Trump says or does is surprising to anybody at this stage, but prices are up left and right, healthcare, energy, housing, groceries, gas at the pump. And here he has something that'll help the American people. And instead of signing it and, maybe even taking some credit, he postpones it and pivots. Look, as you said, the bipartisanship doesn't happen every day. And here we finally had the first in decades significant legislation to help people afford a home. One of the things that I'm most excited about is the ability for local governments to use their community development block grant funding for new housing construction. I hope that with or without the president's signature, this bill will become law and we'll be able to help so many families throughout California and throughout the country.
So instead of signing the housing bill, the president is pushing for the voter ID bill. I know that you are certainly not a fan of that. Do you see any chance that Republicans are able to push through the voter ID bill?
Look, I'm going to continue to do everything I can to block this bill. It is not just a voter ID bill. They talk about voter ID, but they don't give you the details, right? For people who think, well, I can show my driver's license and exercise my right to vote, that would not be allowed under this bill. This bill also seeks to give Trump's Department of Homeland Security access to all the personal private information of every voter in California and across the country. This bill seeks to ban vote by mail options, which are so safe and secure and convenient for so many voters. It goes after trans rights and services. It does more than just the supposed voter ID. It's come up for votes repeatedly in the Senate and continues to fail because not even 50 senators, Republican senators, are supportive.
You know, Senator, I mentioned earlier, Democrats and Republicans don't agree on much these days, but actually there's another thing that the two sides of the aisle agreed on, and that's the Senate approving a war powers resolution to block the military from resuming the war in Iran. Do you think there's simply war fatigue on both sides of the aisle at the Capitol?
Well, I think there's a bit of a war fatigue, not just in both chambers of the Capitol, but finally seeing some of my Republican colleagues say and act publicly the way they tell us they feel privately. There's so many of them upset at the very beginning of Trump's war on Iran.
Is there political pressure in Washington? You are not up for re-election this year, but many of your colleagues on the Hill are. Is there political pressure to get this thing over with so prices can come back down?
Well, I think that's what has changed Trump's tune, you know, finally the approval ratings that have been plummeting, you know, catching up to him. You know, he doesn't like the lower approval ratings. And if that's what's gotten us to gotten him to change the tune in Iran, then so be it. But we have to pivot back to the struggle that so many American families are feeling as they're trying to make ends meet. And so, again, lower prices at the pump, that's great. Let's get this housing bill signed into law, help bring down the cost of rents, bring down the cost of mortgages. Let's tackle groceries. Let's tackle access to health care.
So what is going on in Iran? Here's WBEN in upstate New York.
Dave Leventhal is with us, our senior editor at Notice, Vice President J.D. Vance back in Washington. Where does this deal with Iran?
A huge question, which doesn't really have an easy answer at this point, Susan. These negotiations were not a panacea. They were not a be-all and end-all. And at best, they're going to lead to likely other negotiations. We had the signed document that, of course, broke news last week in such a major way. But everyone was focusing on that while not really focusing on the quote-unquote technical negotiations that were about to follow. And that's really where so much of this comes down to. What is going to be the fate of nuclear material in Iran? Is there going to be any exchange of money or financial benefits to Iran? What is going to be the fate of ballistic missiles in Iran as well, among a whole host of other questions? So these, at least at this point, are at least partially resolved, if not completely unresolved, and is likely going to necessitate more talks going forward with Donald Trump. I should note, too, just in the past couple of days saying, look, we could resume bombing again if Iran doesn't do what we want. So pretty tenuous, at least at this moment.
Tenuous seems to be the whole nature of this thing, where even after the announcement, you're not quite sure if it'll go forward. The big question is, what exactly changes? I mean, we've looked through the peace deal, and a lot of it reads as if we're kind of going back to the status quo, with the one exception of Iran saying they'll never have a nuclear weapon, but who really believes them?
Precisely. And we at Notice have talked to a number of Republicans in Congress in particular who are incredibly skeptical about this deal and are also too wondering, kind of quietly but increasingly out loud, what was the whole point here? What did we really accomplish? Are we just in essence getting ourselves back to where we were before the war began in late February, or is there actually been something material that has been achieved, some sort of long-lasting, durable understanding with Iran as to the fate of their nuclear program, their nuclear material? Donald Trump, back in early March, just days into this war, he said that the only thing he was interested in was unconditional surrender by Iran. Well, this is so far removed from unconditional surrender. And that's why there's a great deal of concern among, again, many Republicans who feel as if this war not only didn't quite go the way the United States wanted to, but has been a failure, at least based on the objectives that were set out early on in the war and being offered up as is a reason for going to war in the first place, which, mind you, has cost the United States tens and tens of billions of dollars and the lives of American service members.
All right. Closer to D.C., Dave, the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool is going to be drained again to fix it. What initially happened there?
Oh, well, do we have an hour to talk about this? I mean, it's an literal mess in the sense that it is filled with algae. I have been by it. I've seen it with my own two eyes. It was very, very, very green. Now it has been partially cleaned up, but this is after spending untold amounts of money to clean it up. And that's on top of the $14 million that were spent to paint the bottom of the pool American flag blue, as Donald Trump likes to call it. So this is all in an effort to beautify it, to make it look better, especially ahead of 4th of July and America 250 celebrations that are taking place on the National Mall, where the reflecting pool is. But at least at this point, you have just a very, very ugly situation there. The pool likely will have to be drained. There was peeling of the paint. There was algae blooms that the likes of which we really haven't seen in Washington, D.C. and in a long, long time. And now everyone is just kind of obsessed with what's going on here. It's a literal swamp that is needing to be drained.
Yeah, and if you're upset about $14 million or something like that, oh, do I got some news for you? Buckle up. We got a lot more.
Didn't it start out as a million-dollar project?
Oh, what about $14 billion? That's anywhere else. Anyways, we gotta move on from this pool thing, or I'm gonna go nuts, Dave. I'm wondering how people in Washington, Washington's not hosting any of these World Cup games. They don't, have the facility for it yet. That's coming, but I'm wondering what the reaction has been to seeing what's going on across the country, where you've got everyone coming to America for these games, and from everything you read on social media, it's a lot of people from Europe, from other continents coming to America, and they're figuring out that America rocks. They're loving every bit of it, and it's like this great unifying moment ahead of the 250th birthday of the country. I'm wondering, how people are taking it in Washington.
Yeah, well, a huge soccer community in Washington. I mean, I grew up playing soccer in Buffalo and Western New York, so have long been a fan. But this is something that wherever you go, it seems like people are just getting really excited about the various watch parties. There have been a lot of public events in D.C. That is absolutely true. And you've gotten thousands and thousands of people gathering for public watch parties and filling the sports bars and the whole nine yards. So if you're looking for something that has been truly celebratory, and as you just mentioned, unifying, the World Cup has kind of been that more than almost anything that's been going on in the country, including the country's 250th anniversary celebration. So in the games themselves, even if you're not a soccer fan, I mean, it's pretty hard to not enjoy the pomp and the circumstance and some of the scenes that have been coming from some of the various World Cup games, including just the incredible crazy run by Lionel Messi in scoring, I believe, now 5 goals at the tender age of 39. I mean, pretty unbelievable stuff.
The Europeans have discovered that America rocks. We'll second that. But lots of Americans are also gearing up to visit Europe on a summer vacation. Here are travel tips from KNX in Los Angeles.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're going to Europe this summer, you got more rights if your flight's delayed or canceled at a European airport. Are we going to get those here? No, probably not. LAX security is getting a little bit of an upgrade, though, but that's also going to meet some changes. You got to be really strict on the size of your bag. Let's bring in our KNX News travel editor, Peter Greenberg.
Hey, Peter, let's talk about the rights that those airline passengers enjoy in Europe. I mean, tell us what we need to know if our flight gets delayed or canceled. And I understand there's some new rules, too.
Yes, it's called European Union Rule 261. It's actually been on the books for a number of years now. We don't have anything close to that in the U.S., but they have it in Europe, and it applies to every airline flying from or even within Europe. That includes U.S. carriers. What it does is, if your plane is canceled or delayed, they give you an immediate cash payment, not some $12 coupon for food. They give you accommodations and a cash payment for compensating you for the delay. So that's a pretty good deal. But now they've just added to it, which really applies to a lot of low-cost carriers as well, that used to charge you for even a carry-on bag. Starting next year, all those carry-on bags are free, meaning you're allowed one carry-on bag plus a personal item, just like we have in the U.S. In addition to that, they're forcing these airlines to allow families to sit together at no charge. And even if you make a spelling mistake on your airline ticket, they can't charge you for that to change it. So good things for those folks who are in Europe or traveling within or from Europe.
Remind us, because we have talked about this before, but remind us why we can't get some of this stuff here at home.
Well, it has to be initiated by the U.S. Department of Transportation. In the last administration, the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, did initiate that proposal. It was on the books. But remember, under federal rules, there's a 90-day period for consultation and comment that extended into the first month or two of the Trump administration, which promptly killed it. So now we have nothing on the books.
All right, the scanners at LAX, what is changing with those? We had some new ones go in, but this is now even newer than those, yeah?
Right. It's the state of technology, 3D scanner machines. They've already tried them, and they work very, very well in Europe. And what it really means is They're so sophisticated that you don't have to take your laptop out anymore. And it'll move everything very, very quickly through security. Here's the interesting dimension to this, though. In Europe, those 3D scanner machines also can detect every kind of liquid lotion and potion. And basically over there, they've tried it already in the United Kingdom. You don't have to take out or throw out your diet soda or your bottle of water or your hair cream. They can distinguish between that and chemical explosives. These new machines can do the same thing, but the TSA says we're not going to see that until 2028.
But someday we might lift the 3-ounce rule. You can take a full bottle of shampoo or something.
Exactly.
And then I did see also that the entrance to the machine is smaller, so it's got to be like, if you think you can sneak on a big carry-on just because it fits in the bin, you got to make sure that's going to fit in this machine.
Right. It will stop on the conveyor belt. They did that intentionally. A lot of pressure from the airlines because people were taking bags to the gate that they hoped they didn't have to check. That's going to end with those new machines.
If flights seem like too much of a nightmare, consider a road trip. Here's Noon Business Hour in Chicago on the best foodie destinations.
From Wisconsin supper clubs to Indiana tenderloins, Michigan cherries, and St. Louis toasted ravioli, let's bring in Mark Walters, Walters World Travel and Culture. You find him on YouTube. You can also find him as the Associate Professor of Business Administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business in Urbana-Champaign. And let's talk about food destinations that are within driving distance of your home in Chicago or perhaps Urbana-Champaign.
That's right. I mean, we can go to our neighbors over in Indiana, and I'm going to tell you, the Tenderloin Trail, if you like breaded pork tenderloins, literally there's 60 restaurants on this trail that have fantastic tenderloins. And let me tell you, when they say it's a small, think of it as the size of a plate. If they tell you it's big, it's the size of a tray. Like, that's one of my favorite things to get in Indiana. Also, if you're going through Indiana, look for a drive-in. No, they don't roll up on their skates anymore, but you can get some really fantastic food, but bring cash when you're there. And I'll be honest, if you grab a beef Manhattan, which looks funny, it's roast beef on top of mashed potatoes on top of a piece of bread with some gravy thrown on top. There's a little Indiana favorites right there that I always like to grab.
And then I would imagine the cholesterol medication comes. Does that come complimentary? Do you need cash for that, too?
Yes, this is not doctor recommended any of these places. That's what's great about the Midwest, because like you're going down to St. Louis, you know, you get the St. Louis style ribs, which for those who don't know, basically just cut off the cartilage and the tips there to make it more of a uniformed rib. You got the toasted ravioli and you dip that in the marinara, fantastic. But I will warn you, when you have St. Louis style pizza, Emo's Pizza, they put this Provel cheese on top and it's almost like plasticky and it'll melt your mouth. So you got to be very careful when you get that first piece. So that's always a good thing when you're down there, if you're going through the St. Louis way.
And also, there's a lot of history in those Italian neighborhoods where the toasted ravioli in St. Louis is the specialty. If you go to the Hill in St. Louis, I think that's where Joe Garagiola and Yogi Berra like grew up on the same street. So a lot of baseball history to be found in that neighborhood as well.
Oh, yeah. And when you're there, what's fantastic, you have fantastic Italian restaurants, but also they have Italian delis and shops. So if you want to get your Italian treats you had when you went to Rome last year, you can just go to the Hill in St. Louis and pick up a lot of the really good stuff right there.
Now, if you want to drive north about 90 minutes to Milwaukee, a lot of people swear by the Bratstop, of course, in Kenosha, just over the border. But there are a lot of other places where you can get brats and cheese curds and fish fry and all sorts of great stuff in Wisconsin.
Yeah, one of the best things, if you're in Milwaukee, go to the Milwaukee Public Market, because literally you can try so many of the great treats from Wisconsin, from the cheese curds and the brats. But I want to tell you, if you're an adult, you can get a Bloody Mary, a Milwaukee Bloody Mary. I mean, literally, it's a Bloody Mary with a meal on top. Like, they throw a brat on there and some cheese curds and a cheese stick and some bacon as well. I mean, you see it and you think, am I getting pranked right now? No, it is a whole thing. Again, maybe not what the doctor recommends, but it is really good. But if you're there on weekends, you know, the fish fries, they'll be all around Wisconsin on Fridays where they fry up some of the lake fish. Really, really good stuff when you're there.
Now, let's say you're in Milwaukee and you want to try stuff on the other side of the lake. You can go take a ride in the Lake Express Ferry and go over to Traverse City, Michigan, and enjoy the stuff over on the other side of the lake, on the on the west coast of Michigan.
Exactly. It was great. Traverse City, if you don't know, it is the cherry capital of the world. And so cherries pop up a lot. Of course, you can never go wrong with just getting the cherries. They're fantastic. Super juicy. So take it from my experience. Don't be wearing a white shirt when you get them, because it'll never come back. It'll never be white again. But you're getting the barbecue sauce, will have cherries in. The cherry pie is great. But the lake food or the lake seafood there, you know, you get the whitefish, lake perch, and they fry that up. Really, really good. And, you know, it's Michigan. So, you know, that Mackinac fudge will come down someplace, too. So you got a really a lot of great eats here in the Midwest.
Mark Walters, Walters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube. Also find him at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, Meta announces new smart glasses starting at under $300.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.